So now that we have these last few days before Pentecost, you notice we have two farewell discourses. We have Paul at Miletus and our Lord. And Paul, it's a beautiful thing, you see. And he's saying, I did what the Lord wanted me to do. And the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus was to bear witness to the gospel of God's grace. That's my whole life. To bear witness to the good news of God's grace. And now, from all the prophecies I'm getting, this is the last time I'll see you. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And only God knows what's going to happen to me there, but all the prophecies are telling me my life is just about over. And our Lord raises his eyes to heaven and says, Father, the hour has come. This is it. And now this whole prayer, there's two parts to it, but one is glory. See, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Now what does that mean? How does the Father glorify the Son? How does the Son glorify the Father? You see what I mean? I mean, there is an infinite. When the Holy Spirit opens that up to his friends, they gasp to see what that means, to understand, you see, that love that constitutes the Son, being permeating his body through the cross. Glorify. The kavod of God is the radiant presence of God. And he goes on to say, you see, you gave him authority over all men so that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. Now, just try to get an idea, if we can. See, this prayer, Jesus is fixed in it. He's praying it at this moment in the very depth of the church, holding this whole church up and praying for it. And this is what he's saying. You want to get a glimpse into the heart of Jesus, look closely at this prayer. So that your Son may give eternal life to all you gave him. And what is eternal life? That they know you, the only true God, which is not far from what Paul was saying, right? I've told you about the true God. There's lots of gods out there. All the big governments, money, power. There's lots of gods out there. But there's only one true God. And that God, you see, is an infinite abundance of personal love within himself, poured out on us. And when we rejected it and threw it back in his face, Adam, but we did it too, he came and died for us so that we could once again have what we rejected. And this is the foundation of reality. There's nothing more, nothing under that. That's reality. You see? So I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work you gave me to do. Do you remember in chapter 4 when he sees the crowd coming at the Samaritan woman and he says, you see, this is the work of God. You see? And my meat is to do the will of my Father. So I glorified you by accomplishing the work you gave me to do. And that's truer now than chronologically when he said it, because between that and now is the cross, which is the glorification of the Father. Hans Urs von Balthasar wrote, I think it's 7 volumes, yeah it is, one of the great theologians, he died recently. And it's called, in German, Herrlichkeit, which means glory. And it's all about God. And the most glorious thing about God is the cross. Take to himself all our evil, all our sin, and in an act of love, bring us back to the Father in that movement that he has from all eternity. The glory I had with you before the world began. This is the prayer, you see, that is throbbing in the heart of Christ at the very heart, center, depth of the church. This is how we understand church. You know, when Paul is writing to the Philippians, urging them to get along, esteem one another better than yourself, and so forth. So this little community in Philippi, his favorite actually, they're having arguments and grudges and whatever's going on there. So what does he do to correct it? He gives them a little book of instruction on how to get along, you know, courtesy and, you know. What does he do? He takes their spirits down to the very depth of the act of love in which he died. Have this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Look, he was by nature God. And he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. And then, more than that, he became obedient unto death. Death on a cross. That's unity. When you all live like that, that's the living, throbbing power that holds the church together. Jesus, fixed in the act of love in which he died, which is the Eucharist. We share in that. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. What name did he reveal? Father. Father. Only Jesus can reveal that in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can conjecture. We can have nice feelings. Which is nothing wrong with that. But to know the Father. See, that is a pure gift of the Trinity. I've revealed it through my cross. If they really look at me on the cross, they will see that fire of love by which you drove me to the cross. That's how much you love them. That's your kavod, the radiant, saving presence of God. They belong to you and you gave them to me. That's a theme in John. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you. How do they know that? Only the Holy Spirit. How would you get to know that? I mean, we could all pass an exam on it, you know. Does everything that Jesus have come from the Father? Yes or no? Check yes. You passed your exam. And you don't know zip. That's the problem. How are you going to know that? You give your life to God and beg him. You see? They understood that I came from you and they have believed that you sent me. He's praying for the whole church. Believing. You see? And this is this last We'll have other parts of it for a few days, and then we'll have chapter 21, the end of the fourth gospel, and then we're ready for Pentecost. But can you see that without the movement of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we're useless? We can't do any of this without the Holy Spirit. What a beautiful mercy. So let's continue with the novena for ourselves and for everybody else. That the Holy Spirit, the church, you see, at the heart of the church, there is the heart of Christ throbbing, praying. This is what he's praying, you see. And he's praying that so that the Holy Spirit come down upon the church. Or, as Peter says in his speech at Pentecost, and you'll hear it on Pentecost, right? When he says, he's explaining the tongues and the prophecy and the fire and the preaching, and he's saying, look, don't you understand? Having been raised up to the right hand of the Father, he received from the Father the Holy Spirit who was promised, and he's poured him out, and that's what you see in here. So let's begin to really pray. And in this novena, let's carry the whole church and this whole poor world that is in such a mess. I mean, the murder, you know, thievery, hatred, you know. And we're here being gotten ready by the mercy of God, by the holy word of God, and fed on the body and blood of Jesus to prepare us. So when we receive today, let's let Jesus pray in us this prayer.